Jesus, right? May we bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I confess I'm not hidden from you. Anxieties, turmoils, wonderings fill my mind, fill my heart. Oh Father, in your mercy, bless each one of us today. The thoughts that you've given, draw out, touch my heart, touch my tongue, that what I say is both practical and touches the Spirit. Father, touch our ears, touch our hearts, that we receive your word. Father, perfect that which is lacking in me, that I glorify you, glorify your Son Jesus, that I communicate beauty and rightness to us this morning. Oh, we praise you, glorify you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. I got up this morning, was brushing my teeth. My worry, my concern, my fear was, how do you do stickers for the children's lesson? The phone rang, and I thought it was Mose. I just heard the phone ringing, and I thought it was Mose. My thought was, well, that's Mose. He's going to explain to me how you do the stickers for the children's lesson. It wasn't Mose. And so that has me standing up here before you this morning for the message. I really appreciate what's already been said. The challenge to not be blind, to not look at others and see everything around, but to see myself, and that's a challenge I recognize I face daily. The stickers are an example of that. I was worried about the stickers because when my boys found out I'd been asked to do the children's lesson, I learned their focus in the children's lesson. They were all excited about the stickers, and so I realized that's a place I need to work on in my boys' spirituality, my family's spirituality. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Joe is called to holiness and worship, and I've pondered about that passage in 1 John. And I may not have it exactly right, but John offers three things before he offers being born of God and being born of blood, and that's not good enough. Being born of the will of the flesh, and that's not good enough. Being born of the will of man, and that's not good enough. And of course, there's meaning in all of those things, and the world places value in all of those births. There's value in bloodlines. We don't think so much that way as humans anymore, but horses, dogs, animals have bloodlines, and there's still some nations that they follow the value of a bloodline. But there is something this morning so much more valuable than our bloodlines. And of course, we all grow up in one way or another being influenced by the will of man, and there's value in that, but there's something of greater value, And thank you, Brother Joe, for touching on that this morning. And if you'd like to read with me, my thought comes out of James chapter 1 this morning. And I feel it does touch on what's been offered already this morning. James chapter 1, and let's start at verse 16. James writes, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Amen. Through that passage of Scripture, I feel like there's much there that has been touched on this morning. The verse that has my attention is verse 21. The last portion or second half of that verse: receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And from the work that I do at the post office, I have a thought. Why don't I receive any mail? And so, of course, parables, they break down at a certain point. I understand that. We understand that. But I'd like to talk in a parable form about some spiritual things and the importance of receiving mail spiritually. Why don't I receive any mail? Or why don't I receive my mail? Amen. Now, in the post office, sometimes mail is not received because postage isn't paid. Sometimes mail doesn't get through because the address is incorrect. But if we consider this morning that God is the sender of the mail that is meant for us spiritually, the Word of God, the call of God, the the explanations and the stirring and the will of God, that it comes from God. And as we look here at James chapter 1, every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes from God. So the postage is paid. There's no problem whatsoever with the postage. And that should encourage each and every one of us this morning. There's no problem with the address. God has the hairs of our head, each one of us, numbered. There's no problem with the address. And I'm mindful of what we heard about last Sunday, about Jonah. If somebody was unreachable by mail, Jonah would have been it in my mind. God found Jonah. Amen. And there's not an issue with the sender this morning. That's not the realm of what I want to talk about this morning. Why don't I receive my mail? Why don't I receive any mail? And of course, in the post office, then you have where my job would come in. And some letter carriers, they would be new. They would be maybe inexperienced. And so customers, you have the opportunity to train them to explain to them, you know, how you like your mail and how you like your packages and so letter carriers they more often than not they learn their job and they get the mail through so we don't want to focus on, of course, let me try to develop this thought a little more before I move to what I feel like is more important. If we consider ourselves, Christian responsibility to deliver help, mercy, and righteousness to others, when I go into work, is my mind foggy because I didn't get enough sleep? Have I been eating right? You know, with a physical job, those are things that can make a difference. Am I up to the task? And so the spiritual application for this would be, as we minister to our children, as we minister to brothers and sisters, as we minister to the lost, am I spiritually up to that task? Am I in tune with the will of God? Is my lamp trimmed and burning? Is there smokiness about me? So those would be spiritual applications to that part of mail delivery. And of course, it's not necessarily perfect, but I'd like to move on. We're going to assume that your letter carrier is, they know the route, they know the mailboxes. So why don't I get any mail? In the post office, along routes, this is something I learned. There are actually homes, there are actually addresses, there are actually driveways. People live there. The houses are not vacant. But there is no mail receptacle. There is no mailbox. There are people that do not want any mail. And me, I just happen to be a person that likes to get mail. And I just happen to be a person that I always liked to check that mailbox. I always liked to check the mail. And I was always disappointed. You know, I tried to be mature about it, but I was always disappointed when there was no male. I tried not to let that rule my day, you know, oh no, it's an awful day, there's no male. But I always enjoyed getting mail, just to explain that to you. Amen. But there are people that don't like to get mail. There are people that they will go to that extreme. Their house, they live in their house. They take care of their house. They take care of their yard. They take care of their life. But they say no mail. And they take the mailbox down. And the post office will not deliver mail if there's no mailbox. Amen. And I'm not talking about people that have a post office box. Instead, they refuse to get mail. And in my mind, I go to John chapter 9. And there's a man there that he's been given his sight by Jesus. And his neighbors are amazed. People are amazed, like who is this man that sees? Well, he's that blind man. And they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees question him, and the Pharisees question him again, and finally he says to them, why do you keep asking me the same question? In other words, would you be Jesus' disciples also? And they flat out, they say, no, we are Moses' disciples. We don't know about this man. We don't want to be his disciples. We don't want to know about him. We don't want the fact that you can see explained to us in terms of Jesus Christ. Explained to us in terms of the gospel. And in my mind, That's like saying, no mailbox. Don't deliver me any mail at all. And I don't want to paint a bleak picture there. Paul was a Pharisee. God found his address. And I believe the book of Acts speaks later on of other Pharisees and maybe priests of the law becoming obedient to the faith. But the encouragement here for me is I want to make sure my mailbox is out there and unobstructed. I want to make sure my mailbox can be found. I want to make sure whoever is delivering mail today, I've got a mailbox out there. Amen. Another man that comes to mind, in Acts chapter 26, he comes from a different background than the background of the Pharisees, if I understand correctly. Festus was a Roman. And different people can reject Jesus Christ, can reject the gospel for different reasons. The Bible explains that the Greeks look for things, the Jews look for other things. So Festus, I reckon, would be counted as a Greek, counted as a Roman. As Festus is listening to Paul's explanation of his life, Paul's explanation of his faith and value system and the reason he is where he is because of his love for Jesus Christ, Festus interrupts that whole scene and says, Paul, you're mad, you're beside yourself. And in my mind, that's saying, that's just taking that mailbox down. That's saying, I don't even want to hear it. And see, there's a different attitude to catch oneself and say, yeah, I'd like to hear it. Yeah, I'm not going to close off to it. That's different than just pulling that mailbox down and saying, no mail at all. And we're looking at Festus, and we're looking at the Pharisees, but is my heart open to my wife? Is my heart open to my brothers? Is my heart open to my children? Is my heart open wherever that true message is coming from? Do I have my mailbox up? Amen. In the post office, Another reason that people don't receive their mail, we call it unable to forward. They've moved and they have left no indication of where they have moved to. And so it's called unable to forward. Somebody tries to send something to someone. And of course, in the world in which we live, people want paid. The electric company wants paid. The gas company wants paid. The water company wants paid. Somebody that does work wants paid. And unfortunately, oftentimes, people try to run from bills. They try to run from debts. They try to run from things that are due. And so it's unable to be forward. They have not left any information with the post office as to how to get their mail to them. And so we return it. And you know, we're apologetic. We just can't do it. There's only so much. And my mind comes to another man in the book of Acts. Concerning Paul's imprisonment, I believe he preceded Felix as the ruler or the deputy of that part. And Felix, he wanted to hear what Paul had to say. And Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness and the things of God. And Felix trembled. And Felix had married a Jewish woman, if I understand the scriptures correctly. And Felix, he said, "Go. At a more convenient time, I'll call for thee." And that's different than just don't tell me at all. And you see, not being able to forward somebody's mail is different than no mail receptacle. That person, more often than not, they're just running. Sometimes they're running on purpose. Sometimes they're in a condition they don't even know why they're running. They may not even realize they're running. Amen? And it's interesting about Felix. We might look at him and we might say fairly or justly enough, He married into the right thing. But you know, I reckon it's fair to say, and I reckon all of us would have an experience or be able to talk about somebody that perhaps marries into the right thing, but they're running. They're still running. They're still running. They're moving. And they're just trying to stay a step ahead of what they really need. They're trying to stay a step ahead of God so gently, so mercifully, so graciously pulling them down into life where they need to be. They're satisfied with halfway. They're satisfied with partway. They're satisfied, although there's that nagging, with an almost gospel, that would bring us to Agrippa. With an almost belief, that would bring us again to Agrippa. They stay a step ahead of the message that God really has for them. So the challenge, I can listen to the message. I can listen to somebody trying to touch me and trying to help me. I can listen to somebody trying to explain truth to me. But do the workings of my mind, do the workings of my heart keep me a step ahead of that? Keep me an explanation ahead of that? Amen? Or am I willing, you see, unable to forward? We don't know where they settled down. Or am I willing to settle down where God can get His help, His grace, His life, His fullness to me. Amen. And Agrippa, I mentioned him already. Acts chapter 26. In my mind, he would fall into the same category. And it's a little bit different than maybe Felix. Responsibility. Importance. Just duties. Well, I've got no problem with the gospel. I've got no problem with God's requirements for man, but they just don't fit. I've got duties that are God-given. I've got responsibilities that are God-given. Almost, you've persuaded me. But I'm going to keep moving on in my course. Unable to forward. Do I let what I perceive to be God-given responsibilities, God-given duties, God-given tasks, do those keep me a step ahead of where God has His message for me? Amen. I was delivering mail one day. I was substituting in a different city, and this is when we lived in Ohio before moving out here. I hadn't done the route before, but routes are normally laid out that for the most part you can follow them. And I walked up onto a porch, and I saw all kinds of things, but I didn't see a mailbox. And I stood there because I had quite a bit of mail for this address in my hand, and it's never pleasant to return with mail. The responsibility is to deliver the mail, and so I kind of learned you just start at the edge and you look. Some people have mailboxes that are decorated. Some people have mailboxes that blend in, and so I just started at one corner of the house, and then it was a covered porch, and I looked all around, and there were, I don't know what all there were, wind chimes and plaques on the wall, and there were tables, a sitting area, and very beautifully done. And I looked, and I could not see a mailbox in any of that. And so I went back, and I looked, and I could not discern any of those things, whether it was meant to be a mailbox. And finally, I broke down, and I knocked on the door. They opened the door, and I said, I apologize, I don't see the mailbox. And they real quickly they grabbed the mail and they pointed. And in a corner off the porch, there was a post coming out of the flower bed, and like a rural regular mailbox sitting on that post, kind of leaning over the rail, and I mean, it was completely hidden from my view, but I'd learned where the mailbox was at that point. But I never did that route again. Does clutter keep us from getting our mail? Does clutter keep me from getting my mail? And I'm mindful of Martha. Martha, in my mind, was sincere, was devout. Martha ran to meet Jesus. It wasn't Mary that ran to meet Jesus. It was Martha that ran to meet Jesus after they'd buried Lazarus. And it was noise that Jesus was in the area. And maybe I like to think Martha had a transformation after this encounter with Jesus. Jesus was at their house. We all know the story, I believe, that our Bible read, Luke chapter 10. And Martha she was cumbered about with much serving. Her mind was overwhelmed. Her heart was overwhelmed. Her body was overwhelmed by the tasks and the duties and trying to prepare and trying that everything would go right. And there Mary sat, at Jesus' feet, just listening to Jesus. And Martha went to the right place. She didn't go to Mary. She went to Jesus. You know, if somebody can fix this situation, surely Jesus can fix this situation. And Jesus said, Martha, you're cumbered. You're cumbered. Mary has chosen that good part, and it won't be taken away from her. And so I'm challenged every day. What part do I choose when it comes to God and it comes to the Lord dealing with my heart? What part do I choose daily? In Luke chapter 21, let me read this passage. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. This passage of Scripture has always challenged me. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And when I was first converted, and I'd read the Bible and I'd read passages of Scripture like this, that there was a fear in me of what does pray always mean? And so I've learned that doesn't call us away from life's responsibilities necessarily. It doesn't call us away from being a father. It doesn't call us away from earning, from being a bread earner. It doesn't call us away from caring for the home. Amen. It actually betters it, or blesses it, or sanctifies it. If I can put it in those terms, amen. It's a sweet hour of prayer that calls me from this world of care. Or times during the day that we set in our hearts that these are times that I am going to spend in prayer. These are times that I am going to spend in communion with God. And it's not that parts of our time aren't God's. All of our time is God's. But these times are set aside for prayer, to separate from the cares of life that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that my conscience can speak to me and deal with me. I have all these things going on, and I can't handle them alone. I forget who it was. They asked the man the question, "You've got so much going on. How can you take time to pray?" And his answer was, and you may know the man, you may know the words better than I don't think I have the words just right. His answer was, "I have so much going on. How can I not take time to pray?" Amen. And so, is my porch so cluttered that the mailman can't find my mailbox? That's a different situation. Amen? In a different city, different town, the mailbox was readily noticeable. So I walked up on the porch, and I put the mail in the box. And it's not uncommon when somebody hears the mailbox clutter, clatter, bang, whatever noise, different ones make different noises. It's not uncommon that they'll run to the door. And so somebody ran to the door and they said to me, "What are you doing?" And of course I was dressed in a post office uniform, and I just put mail in the mailbox, and I was kind of wondering, well, I'm what does she mean? What am I doing? And she said, "The dogs are out." And of course we try to be mindful of dogs, and I thought, well, okay, the dogs are out, I'll be careful. And she came out the door, she grabbed my arm, and she said, "You have to get out of here." And sure enough, around the back of the house ran two large Doberman pinschers. And so at that moment, I was very conscious of getting out of there. But they give us good training. So we have the satchels and we carry dog spray. But in a situation like that, it's very hard to focus on two dogs and reach for your dog spray at the same time. So you just hold your satchel, your post office bag in front of them, and if they're going to bite something, you hope they bite the satchel. And they had shock collars on. She kept saying, "Get to the sidewalk, get to the sidewalk, get to the sidewalk." And I assumed she was talking to me, because the dogs won't cross that electronic barrier. So I did, and after a few more houses and moving on the route, I had settled down. You know, my heart wasn't beating so fast. The Bible says, beware of dogs. I'm not against dogs. You understand that. I'm trying to reach a spiritual application. Why don't I get my mail? As you go down in Philippians chapter 3, I think verse 2 is beware of dogs. And on down, maybe verse 19, Paul's telling weepingly of those that are enemies of Christ, whose God is their belly. And I don't know that refers back to dogs, but I've always pondered that. A dog's God is their belly. They taught us a dog will go for flesh. And if you hold up, if I were wearing this shirt and I held up my arm like this to a dog, the dog would go for my hand because it sees the flesh. Or the dog might go for my face or my neck. That's the flesh that the dog sees. And if it comes down to me going home in the evening to my family, or me getting bitten by a dog, I'm going to walk past that house. Why don't I get my mail? I believe there's a proverb. The horse leech has two daughters crying, "Give, give." And I wonder about my own sons. I told you about the stickers. Daddy, can we do this? Daddy, can I have one of those? I look at this. Can I present this? There are dog-like spirits that work in this world. And we live in a world that dogs are cute. Dogs are cuddly. People love dogs. Dogs are important to people. Pets are important to people. There's a perception about dogs and about pets today that didn't exist 150 years ago. If I can say it like that. Amen? But I want to try to apply that spiritually. Amen? There are spirits out there. Their God is their belly. A bless me spirit. A give me spirit. A why not me spirit. And perhaps you're not like me, but I can find myself influenced by that kind of spirit. Well, why don't I just get one? Or why don't I just do it? Or everybody else, it's okay with them. If I'm making sense, I'm trying to make sense. It's that immediate gratification. My belly's grumbling. Oh, only it's not really the belly. It's a spiritual thing. I can satisfy my belly. But the Spirit of Jesus and the Word of God and time with Jesus is a tender, precious, calm, still. It's God is not its belly. And my word choices are failing me. They're poor. I hope I'm conveying something valuable here. Why don't I get my mail? Am I petting too many dogs? Are they yapping in my ears? Am I not hearing? And I am. I'm speaking of myself. I've tried to share things. There are spirits in this world that no matter how cute, no matter if they have a bow on them and they've been manicured and groomed, the heart of that spirit is a dog. Amen? And the God of that spirit is its belly. It's self-gratification. It's immediate gratification. And that kind of spirit, no matter how cute it looks, can keep me, and more often than not, will keep me from receiving what Jesus has for me. Now, I do mostly walking. But there are times that there are routes that I drive on within the city. And if a trash can or a car is parked in front of a mailbox, I am not required to step out of the vehicle and put mail in that box. I'm allowed to drive by. I don't have to drive by. I could, if I wanted to, step out of the vehicle and put mail in that box. But I'm allowed to drive by and just write on that, whatever mail they get, just write the date, and I write blocked. So something was blocking that mailbox that I could not safely or reasonably access that mailbox. Amen. Sometimes it's a neighbor's car. So sometimes that trash can was probably in a different spot, but the trash men have come through and now it's laying on its side, it's lid open, and it's right in front of the mailbox. And that brings to my mind Romans chapter 14. Am I a stumbling block to somebody else getting their mail. You know, am I careful? And mind you, I'm using natural things to convey spiritual. Am I careful about where I park my car? Do I get so close to my neighbor's mailbox that they have trouble getting their mail? Where do I put my trash can? Where do I throw my trash? Do I block my neighbor's mailbox? Do I hinder them from receiving the Word of God? And if I do, please tell me. If my neighbor has been touched and they are spiritually, they are in the Word of God in some upward motion, in an upward swing, does that kind of bother me? Or can I say, go, brother, go faster. and go faster so I can see how and I can catch up with you. And do I sometimes, am I in such a rush to get home? And of course, I'm speaking naturally, but there are spiritual applications here. Am I in such a rush to get home that I'm not really paying attention to where I park, and I park in front of my own mailbox, and I get inside, and Dale Heisey, when he was here last, his message about the Shulamite, I believe it was, being in bed, relaxing from the day, have I gotten home, parked in front of the mailbox, and I know the mail will come tomorrow. I know they'll just deliver it tomorrow. It's not for me today. It's not important. The message isn't for me. I believe that goes to Aidan, what Aidan was speaking this morning. How often do I have that attitude? Well, this message isn't for me. It's meant for somebody else. And I just pull right in front of my mailbox. I spoke earlier in the message that there are people out there that run. They run from things that they need. And I've definitely, absolutely, positively been guilty of that. Bills come in the mail. Bad news. And of course, that's just a term people use. Come in the mail. And bills are bad news for people. Things that bear responsibility or attention. People view those as bad news. Those things come in the mail naturally. Amen? But you know, checks come in the mail also. So I don't mean to paint. I mean to paint a challenging picture for myself, for us. I don't mean to paint a bleak picture for ourselves and for us. Spiritually, and I know it's true with you, spiritually I found that when the message comes and I owe something, so to speak. I've got a bill to pay, so to speak. And I'm mindful to attend to that bill, attend to that due. I have found spiritually that checks come in the mail also. Amen. I mean, is there a reason to have that mailbox up? Is there a reason to have that heart open and say, Lord, I want to hear from You? Yes, there is. Amen. Yes, there is. Is there a reason to say, Lord, I am here at this time of the day, every day, or I am here at this time of the day, on the Lord's day, and that's my habit. That's what I want to do. That's my particular way, because I want to hear from You. I want mail today. And Lord, I'm listening. I'm reading it. If it's a bill due, I'm going to write out a check. I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer of the Word. I'm going to attend to it. If it's a check, you've probably all heard this about the Word of God spiritually. Get all you can. Can all you get. If it's a check, I'm going to invest it right back into You, Lord. Spiritually. Speaking spiritually. It works financially too. You all know that. Why don't I get mail? Maybe the question this morning is, how do I get more mail? Huh? How do I get more mail? Well, I pray I've blessed. I pray I've helped. I was concerned about something that would go with the service and feed us and help us spiritually. God bless you all. God bless you all.